Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, horror for the casually obsessed. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And this week, we are kicking off a superior sequels double feature with Hostel 2.
That's right, we are staking a claim with these movies that we're talking about this week and next week. We're of the opinion that the sequel is better than the original. We got an Evil Dead 2 scenario here happening, guys. Hostel? Great movie. Love
Hostel. Stop saying the Evil Dead 2 like everybody has agreed with you. You can't have the second one without the first, but we're going to make a claim. Yeah, Hostel 2 outdoes Hostel 1. Before we plead our case, John, what are three good things about Hostel 2 you would recommend to anybody listening who has not seen the movie yet and might want to pause it before we spoil the shit out of it?
Three good things about Hostel 2. You'd think that I would have this prepared because it's our podcast and we knew we were going to ask me this question. First off, Hostel 2 is its own story, but it does an incredible job of tying back to the first movie with one of the best cold opens of modern horror.
Oh, it's definitely an homage to Friday the 13th Part 2, poor old Annie.
Hell yeah, man. Oh, so good. Number two, it is way funnier than Hostel 1. So if you've only seen Hostel 1 and you went, ew, gross, not for me, this movie is absolutely hysterical.
Is it?
It's got some comedic beats that play that maybe appear to be funnier than they actually are because of how gruesome the rest of the movie is.
I think you're just sadistic.
It's way more playful than Hostel.
Okay, playful. I'll give you playful.
Okay, I appreciate that. And third point, all female lead characters. So if you thought that Hostel 1 was a little chauvinistic because you're following
it
some
fucking... It was a little
fucking
chauvinistic.
Those are the characters. They're dude bros.
I agree with you.
These lead characters that we have here are so fucking good, and they kick so much ass in this movie. You know, unfortunately, maybe all of them don't make it out, but what a way to go.
Okay, we'll cut it there because you're starting to get a little spoilery, but before we get into our full discussion of Hostel 2, John, what is keeping you creepy this week?
Movie theaters are finally open again in our area.
Yay!
Because of the Omicron variant, everything got shut down beginning of January.
We finally saw Scream!
We finally saw Scream, guys! And Kim, I'm gonna ask you the same thing. What are three good things about Scream?
I think we should also say, like, we're not going to spoil it because I know that there are still people that have not seen it who I've either, like, you know, been isolating because of their job or had COVID, got COVID. You know, not everybody can get to the theater right now. Not everybody feels comfortable getting to the theater. So we are not going to spoil Scream at all.
No.
We're going to keep this as vague as possible. Let's do this together because I think we came to, like, an official Nightmare on Film Street consensus on three good things we like about the Scream movie. First one I'm going to say is we thoroughly enjoyed the updated use of tech. I was wondering how they were going to play into the fact that nobody answers their goddamn phones now.
Yeah.
We all screen our calls and we're like, hey, why not text? And I would have assumed that all of the Generation Z would be doing that with Ghostface, screening his calls. And there was some fun use of apps and updated Technology.
Yeah, that's without spoiling it. But I mean, hey, phones have continued to update movie over movie with that franchise, and they've always done a great job of using whatever the new phones can do. And we'll leave it at that, I guess. In terms of other modern updates, number two, as always, fucking skewered modern horror movies.
Oh yeah, they have quite some opinions about modern horror and modern horror fans, and just like the first, and I will say second film, very cutting.
They pump the brakes a little bit, like, right at the end. Like, they pull that punch slightly, like, oh, we didn't mean it fully. Those movies are still good if you like them, but there's a lot of good jabs in there if you're an old horror fan.
Yeah, I really appreciated the take, because I was really wondering how they were going to explain this, what were they calling it, a requel.
Yeah, and also, it's a slasher movie coming out in an age of elevated horror. So that was going to be a little hard to juggle anyway. And number three, this should come as no surprise, just given Ghostface's MO and his choice of weapon, there's a fucking gnarly knife wound in this movie, guys.
Is that what we settled on? A knife wound is number three?
In my heart, that's number three. If you got a third other thing you wanna throw out there, I'm fine with it. But the surprise tied for third, gory knife wound.
I mean, can my number three just be Nev Campbell?
Well, if that's the case, then my number three is going to be Roger Jackson.
Nev Campbell's in it.
Yeah, the whole cast is there. You're going to have to see it for yourself to
the
figure out.
The whole cast is there.
Everybody showed up. You'll have to see it for yourself to figure out how much they're actually in the movie. But yeah, that's kind of it as far as spoiler-free discussions. If you're curious, yes, Red Right Hand by Nick Cave does show up.
So, such a great cameo by that song.
Yeah, that's the, like, unofficial cast member of the whole franchise, right? Like, you gotta have Nev, you gotta have Courtney Cox, you gotta have David Arquette, and you need Red Right Hand. Those are just our spoiler-free thoughts, three good things we liked about the movie. If you want to hear our full opinion, if you want to hear what we thought about every kill, every weird decision, every story beat, we recorded a full Drive Home from the Drive-In review of the new Scream movie immediately after coming back from the theater. Our first reactions of the movie, you can get that over in the Fiend Club at nofspodcast.com/Fiend Club. We're going to be releasing that episode Friday or Saturday this week, so keep an eye out for it.
We're also hosting a little Valentine's Day watch party over there. We have a poll up right now. You can vote on which movie you want to watch. They're all a little bit secret. We put a little Valentine's Day-esque tagline for each with the release date, and everybody in the Fiend Club has been voting on what we're going to watch. That little watch party is happening Saturday night, February 12th at 9 p.m. Eastern, but be sure to go vote in our little poll to make sure you have a say in what we're watching. And that event is a Fiend Club exclusive. You can only get in if you're a member at nofspodcast.com/Fiend Club. You'd stay in a hostel after this? After watching this?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would gladly go backpacking and stay at hostels everywhere in Europe. This movie has never scared me away from tourism. But let's get into it. Let's talk about our first superior sequel of this double feature.
The second one will surprise you.
We're talking about Eli Roth's Hostel 2.
I tried to go for a BuzzFeed title there.
Don't touch that dot.
Jedes Jahr werden in Amerika 10.000 Menschen mit einer Schusswaffe getötet. Darüber hinaus werden über 2000 Menschen erstochen. Amerikaner haben einfach keine Fantasie. Hostel Teil 2.
From 2007, Hostel Part 2 is currently sitting at a 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 2.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Now, I'm surprised about that Letterboxd rating, but do you want to hear something even crazier?
No.
So 44%, obviously the critic rating. Take a while. I guess I've sort of like hinted at where this is going, but take a wild guess what the audience rating is for Hostel Part 2.
81.
39. 39%.
Yo, people are incorrect.
Yeah. The funny thing is when you look at the Rotten Tomatoes ratings, like you'll see positive tomato ratings from reviews that were very clearly written in 2020. Like, people are just, like, retroactively like, we gotta pump these numbers up. And I'm thinking, maybe we do that. Maybe we just start, like, getting people accredited to Rotten Tomatoes, and, like every new celebratory, hey, this new writer of ours is Rotten Tomatoes approved, we get them to write a review for Hostel Part 2.
Our website is only positive reviews of Hostel Part 2.
That's not a bad website. I'd read every one of them.
Oh, boy. I guess I didn't really realize that this was a controversial opinion. I thought we were all under the assumption that everyone enjoyed Hostel Part 2.
Yeah, me too. Anytime you bring it up, anywhere in any horror circle, I guess,
you get a lot of like, yo!
Yeah, and people, like, lots of people too are just like, oh, you know, like, the first one wasn't for me, but that second one, I fuck with the second one.
We all fuck with the second one, but not really, apparently, from those ratings.
Apparently not. 2007, right? In 2007, people weren't digging it. I can understand audience ratings being low for something like Hostel Part 1, just because, like, that was such a, like, a cultural moment. Everybody saw that movie, even people who would, like, people who don't watch horror movies decided, this is the, like, Hostel, this torture porn movie, the one horror movie I'm going to see this year.
I have to say, and, you know, we're kind of jumping the gun on this because I didn't want to do, like, the comparisons out the gate, but now that we're talking about Hostel 1, I find I have to be in the right mood to see the original Hostel film. If okay. I'm not in the right mindset, I watch it, I don't like it.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes I watch it, I'm like, yeah, this is bomb.
You gotta be in the mood for, like, a gritty, grimy, dirty movie theater
Yeah,
style
like, I have to
movie.
Be in the mood to be uncomfortable or silly or watch it, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it's the kind of movie you need a shower afterward.
Yeah, like, the same reason why, you know, I have to be in the mood to watch a Friday the 13th film. Like, it has to be summer vibes. It has to be Friday. It doesn't have to be Friday, but
it has to only be Friday.
You know what I mean? It's a weekend movie. You watch it with your friends or, like, you know, with the window open so you get that night breeze and a cricket sound or something.
Yeah.
Hostel, I have to be, I guess, in the mood for gore and violence.
You know what's funny about that comparison, though?
And assholes. I have to be in the mood for assholes.
So what you're saying is that Friday the 13th, you need the right atmosphere. But you're not recreating the appropriate atmosphere for Hostel. You're
traveling.
Just like, we need the floors to be sticky.
I'm traveling to Slovakia. I'm watching it in a brothel. Off a girl named Candy's back.
If I walked into a tiny movie theater and they were projecting a movie on a bed sheet that was just strung up on the
Hostel.
Wall.
Hostel. We would watch Saw and Hostel.
Yeah, I would not be surprised to see either of those movies play and be like, oh, this makes sense. Yeah, of course.
So the point I'm getting around to is that Hostel 2 and why I think it is a superior sequel is that I could watch it anytime. And every single time I watch it, I'm like, yo, I love this movie.
Why do you think that is?
It's fucking dope.
That is such a broad definition. Do you think that it's just sillier? Like, it has a more playful vibe?
It's
like,
well written. It's...
Oh, I think the first one's well written.
Okay. So depending on the time you watch it.
Okay, yeah.
I think the characters are super interesting. I love all three of them. They're really well written.
Absolutely.
They are whole human beings.
Yeah.
And you feel bad for each and every one of them. For different reasons. Like, murder is bad for any character to go through, but you feel let down because Lorna really liked this guy and he's a big jerk. And
yeah, it seems like murder, bad for everything but business, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
What? Yeah, I just thoroughly enjoy it. The whole thing is watchable, like even the non-horror moments. And I think that's what makes a horror movie exceed from being good to great is, like, are you entertained during the non-horror moments?
Mm.
And I just have to say, if Slovakia wasn't full of fictional murder, I want to go to that Harvest Festival so bad.
Before we get too far away from, like, critical response and whatnot, did you know that this movie was nominated for 2 Razzies?
No.
Yeah. The awards that it was nominated for were Worst Excuse for a Horror Movie.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And then also Worst Prequel or Sequel. It did not win either of those. It went to I Know Who Killed Me and Daddy Day Camp. But yeah. 2 Razzie nominations for what arguably I think is one of the best horror movies of the last...
It must have been slim pickings that year, we'll just say. Well, how can you rag on the premise of this film?
I don't understand. And I think maybe a lot of that is just carried over from the first one. Hey, there's a pretty good chance that if you're listening to this, you already know that the whole sequence with Lorna's death, where she's strung upside down, which was a lot of the promo images for the movie before it hit theaters, that's completely cut from the movie.
Whoa.
Oh, you don't know this.
What?
In Germany, you can't see it. It's gone. Just wiped out of the movie. She gets kidnapped, and that's the last you see of Lorna. You never see her. You never see a bit of her death. There was, at one point, a unrated extended German cut that you could get that had parts of the scene, but not the whole scene. And that's been banned. That's,
whoa.
So gone. Just in Germany, you can't fucking see
Why?
It. It's too brutal, I guess.
She's based on, like, a countess.
Yeah, like a real life person.
Yeah, that Elizabeth Bathory, which it's somewhere in Europe.
I'm sure that they were watching American Horror Story out there in Germany. Isn't there a whole season that's kind of based on
Elizabeth
Bathory?
It is pretty fucking brutal, though.
Oh, this, yeah. Okay, so if you don't know what we're talking about, you've never seen this movie, or it's been a while, there is a character. Her name's Lorna. It's fucking heartbreaking because she falls for the sweetest looking guy,
and she's such a safe girl, like she doesn't drink and you know, like she
all she wants to do is journal
and have a good fucking European vacation, and even the girl she's with kind of treat her like a heel, and she kind of knows it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's so rough. Anyway, yeah. She gets kidnapped
and super duper murdered.
And strung up like a pig and her throat cut.
For
her blood.
Yeah. So here's, I think the most interesting thing about that death too is everybody else that we see kill a person in either of these movies, Hostel 1 and Hostel 2. Hostel 3 is its own animal. it's all just in plain ass rooms, right? Maybe the room's clean, maybe the room's dirty, but it's just four walls and a door. This woman who kills Lorna has her own dedicated, like, bathhouse.
It's still
tiled.
Grimy, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, of course it's grimy. People commit murder there. There's nothing but blood. It's not like no one's leaving Yelp reviews for the elite hunting club's bathhouse, you know? There's candles, though. She's made a nice romantic night of it, and she just walks in, sits in this shallow pool underneath Lorna, and hacks her to pieces with a long-bladed scythe. Including like a really gory throat slit that just showers her in it. But the scene in this movie, it hurts to know that it's cut, because I think it's kind of what puts it in the pantheon of great horror movies.
Go on.
Honestly, it's kind of a thesis statement for the whole movie, regardless, but it just looks great. It is so blood hungry, this scene. Like it's just like foaming from the mouth. For the gore of it all. The sound design is amazing. Like leading up to the death, where she's sort of like teasing her and taunting her, and she's just dragging the blade across her skin.
Oh my god, I can't even.
Oh, it's brutal.
Ugh.
It's brutal. It's
where
so
it, like,
great.
Skitters on.
Yeah,
oh.
And I mean, like, if you remove yourself from it a little bit. If you just try to approach it like a craftsman or something, like, you know, 100% that is the sound of fabric being torn.
Ugh.
Or fabric being scratched at. You know, it's not the sound of skin. It's so great. And it all comes together so perfectly.
Ugh.
But
I am cringing in my own skin. Right,
I know.
Now.
To be honest, I think that's why I keep sort of describing it more and more, is because I can see the look on your face, and it's hilarious. But I mean, don't you think this is, like, outside of, like, all of the great ramblings from Stuart and Todd, who we really follow in the movie.
Oh, I love it.
Don't you think, as a short film, you get everything about the Hostel movies in this scene with Lorna's death? Just this fucking woman who has all the money in the world to actually bathe in the blood of people regularly? Should anyone have that much money? Like the amount of money it costs to even just rent that room is more than most people could afford.
Yeah.
But then to pay for a human person to do anything you want with, and to pay to have them disposed of and all evidence of them erased. Like, that's a stupid amount of money. It's just, it's the epitome of excess. Like, sure, she's not buying Lambos and, like, wearing 18 gold watches on her wrist.
Hostel alternate.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Bathory just buys a bunch of Lambos.
Yeah. But I mean, it's no different. It's a stupid amount of money. And to see her bathe in it and know that it does nothing is hilarious. Like, that's the thing. The scenes like this make me laugh.
Do you think she knows that it does nothing? Because she seems to be rubbing it in her skin like she wants it to do something.
Hey, man, a lot of people will pay a lot of money for want.
Have you heard of those blood facials? That's a thing where you, like...
You use your own blood?
Yeah, I think they, like, take your blood out of your arm and then they, like, tattoo it into your face.
What? They tattoo it?
Well, not, like, tattoo it, but, like, they microderm it. So, like, they, on itty-bitty needles, like,
yeah.
Put it back into your face.
Huh. You couldn't just... And that costs how much?
Probably lots.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love that you couldn't just...
I buy
just...
face cream. I'm at face cream level.
If you're going to go to the lengths of doing that, couldn't you just prick your goddamn finger and just rub it around a lot?
Mm.
Yeah.
You could buy a whole American woman to to bathe in, I guess.
Yeah. And so, like, that's the thing for me. Like, that's why I love that scene in the movie. Like, yeah, as a kill, it's brutal. It looks great.
In the grander scope, what you're talking about like how it's kind of about capitalism more or less.
Fuck
or,
yeah,
or
dude.
Greed or excess. That's why I really enjoy the bidding sequence in this
yeah.
movie.
No,
and
totally.
How we have the double screens where we're watching Todd outbid all of these men, and you get to see a glimpse of the lives of these people that are bidding, and it's basically just affluent white men.
Oh, yeah.
Old, gross white men.
And they're all very plain and boring looking.
Yeah, and they're all, like, with their wives and families, like, shielding their circa 2000 era cell phones while they bid on these American girls. And the fact, too, that we're also watching the girls who are seemingly free at this point,
mm-hmm.
just laughing and giggling and hanging out while we're also seeing cuts of their face scanned on a cell phone with a bidding price increasing in $1,000 amounts. It's
yeah.
so sinister, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
But the way that it's presented is so fun. Like, it's not, like, it's kind of hilarious, it's silly, it's interesting, it's super dark, but... You almost feel happy for Todd that he won that bidding war when he gets it. I also love that he's on a golf course. Like, all the big deals go down on golf courses, right? But it's like, you know, you've been in an eBay auction before where you finally fucking won something. Like, you're almost like, yeah, way to go, Todd, when he gets her, even though you know he's the villain of the fucking movie.
Yeah, it's true. And you do kind of like them because they're both, Todd brings his friend, his reluctant friend Stuart with them.
Yeah.
And it's just basically like bro up talk the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
They're there because Todd's trying to convince Stuart to go along with it, obviously. He's just like, we got to do this rite of passage. You know, like when guys come back from high school break and they've lost their virginity and you can see it on them. And like, that's what it's going to be for us, but murder time.
I love that he thinks he's going to have an edge in a boardroom meeting because he's killed someone before and people are going to smell it on them. They're just going to know.
That's a plausible emotion somebody
oh, yeah.
like that could have, or a thought that they could have.
Totally.
Like, it's cutthroat here, it's man eat man, and I've eaten a man before.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's great. It's so good.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Something else that I really appreciate, and this kind of goes back to you doing your comparison between the first two.
Yeah, we didn't really get your comparisons.
I like them both. Like, I like both of these movies almost equally. Hostel 2, I like a little bit more. It is way more fun. It is better written. And I think the other thing is that I'm amazed at how much I enjoy a movie that expands its universe. I never really like that.
I am the same way.
Yeah.
I normally hate that.
Yeah.
But even just watching people getting the hound dog tattoos, thoroughly enjoy it in this movie. We see it a couple times. I love it.
Well, also because Stuart tries to turn it down. Like, he's like, I can't explain a tattoo to my wife.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, these guys are, they've done a deal, and they're just as at risk at being murdered in this place as the victims in some cases.
Oh, yeah. Now, like, here's the other thing. Like, I get it that part of the contract is you have to kill somebody before you leave.
You join the club.
Yeah, because essentially, like, we've all got dirt on each other. Like, you're not...
That's the NDA!
that is is the harshest, most serious NDA that you could ever sign.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't understand why none of these people assume that they're not going to get blackmailed at some point. Like, we were talking about it at the end of the movie. Why isn't Hostel 3 a version that zooms out a little more from, like, in the same way that Hostel 2 zoomed out from Hostel 1, Hostel 3 should zoom out and you just see that the elite hunting group controls all of the governments of the world. Because all of the richest people have come to their place to murder people.
On camera.
On camera. They have DNA evidence. They have all the proof that they would ever need to get you to sway your vote to anything that they wanted.
Yeah, all they need to do is, like, drop a skull with its intact teeth in a lake near where they live. And you're just like,
Yeah.
But have you seen the state of their hostels, though? Maybe it's not a totally profitable endeavor. It would be, I feel like the warehouse where they commit the murders should be a lot cleaner.
No, that's part of the environment. That smell.
You're paying
that
sting aesthetic.
In the nostril. Yeah, you need that. Like, haven't you ever been to a bar and you're just like, if this place smelled clean, I would enjoy it less. Like, have you never been to a dive bar that smelled like old ass cigarettes? You're just like, yeah, no.
Okay, so that's kind of true. Like, when you go to a bowling alley that's existed since,
yes,
like pre-1990, and you're like, smells like smoking in here.
Yeah.
Nobody smoked in there for 35 years.
Not at all, but the carpets are the same, and goddammit, it's just baked in.
Or bingo. Bingo also.
Absolutely. Now, so the other thing that I really enjoy, you know, talking differences between the first two movies, is that when you say, we're making a movie about backpackers in Europe, the first thing that comes to mind is dude bros. Like, just fucking frat boys who think they can show up and fuck the whole town and go back home with 100 stories. So why wouldn't that be your first movie?
True.
But girls like backpacking in Europe too, and you know for a fact that is a completely different experience.
Yes, because it explores the vulnerability of girls traveling alone, even in packs of girls. Like, the train ride alone.
That is one of the scariest scenes of the movie.
Yeah, and those aren't even the worst people they encounter.
I don't think those dudes actually work for the elite hunting group either. I think they're just assholes on their way to Prague that you just cannot trust.
Yep, those are the guys from the first movie.
Yeah, and like the girl group here... you know, Beth, Whitney, and Lorna are no different than the dudes in the first movie. Their goals are essentially exactly the same, too. I want to show up, I want to get laid, I want to have a few drinks, and I want to experience the culture. But they cannot approach it at all the same way. And it's super dangerous every step of the way. And you see that because Whitney is not out of control, but she's doing whatever she wants. And Beth recognizes the absolute danger in that. she's such a great friend too. She never lets her out of her sight.
That's the fun part too about the Harvest Festival is when she's halfway between Lorna and some guy trying to go on a boat, and then Whitney, who's dancing with like a dude she just met on the other side of the festival, like, and you're just like, stop, girls.
Yeah, for the love of God.
This is dangerous. And then
have some water.
And the worst part is that Victor Crumb, who Whitney's like hanging around with, ends up being a decent dude who gets hostled himself. He gets cannibalized.
And because of what you know about the first movie, you think he's a bad guy.
You can't trust anyone.
He just, you know, he's just really upset that she took away his one opportunity to sleep with Whitney.
Everybody out there might be selling you for meat. You just don't know. What do you think, because I feel like we need to talk about this dude, even just for a second, just to acknowledge him, what do you feel about the guy that runs the hostel?
Oh, come to the party, it's a sexy good time, that guy? He's hilarious.
He makes me more uncomfortable, I think, than anybody else in this movie.
He feels like out of real life, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Everybody else feels like a horror movie villain, but this guy, you're like, oh, I don't know, something about that little thin mustache.
There's
can't
a
trust
lot
it.
Of people who work for this company or cult or whatever it is. And a lot of them just feel like muscle, like, you know, they're just guys that have got lived in a life of crime and this is just the next opportunity that they landed on.
Oh, yeah.
But he feels like he's so into it. Like, he grew up wanting to be a spy or something. Oh,
yeah. Like, yeah, because he definitely has a, like, I know something you don't know.
The whole time. It's just so slick and sleazy. And, like, I cringe smile especially at the Harvest Festival when he's like, you should have a drink. Drink up. Have a great time.
He won't be bothering you anymore. Yeah.
And you're like, ugh.
Anybody wearing a sweater vest in 2007 is pure evil.
He's just sleazy personified. And I can't. It's cringy as the scythe going down Lorna's back.
I love that he comes back. I love that he is. Is he the only? He's one of the only carryovers. The other two would be like the bad guy with the dogs, the bald bad guy with the dogs.
And the kids.
And the kids. Yeah. The kid gang. Oh, man, I'm so happy they made it back.
I like them, too, because they represent, like, anarchy and lawlessness, and they're the only people that don't play by the rules of society.
Yeah, and like, especially...
They're not teamed with this bad group that's running the town. They're not for the tourists. They're not for anybody.
No, they're just purely there for survival and gum. They want gum. They have... such a fun little arc in this movie. The end, like, the final image of this movie is them playing soccer with a severed head. How does this movie have a 39% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's criminal.
I'm imploring all of you to start your own blog and become Rotten Tomatoes
or
accredited.
Come write for our blog.
yeah, so that way we can pump that number up. And hey, like, do your part. Open a Rotten Tomatoes regular ass audience account and just get that number up. I don't even think you have to write a review. I think you just walk in and you're like, I liked it. And that's it. You walk away. We just need a few thousand of you to do that.
Are we starting a campaign right now?
Why not? 15 years later, like, Hostel 2 deserves at least a 75%.
All right, I'll design a t-shirt.
That's not a bad idea. We moved away from the censorship stuff real quick in the beginning, but it's nuts that this movie is still kind of illegal in some, like, it was banned in several countries. New Zealand wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, I think, like, a lot of European tourism were like, thanks, America. We already hate you.
Hey, they shot this on location.
I did see that. Like,
they
lot
came
of,
back.
Yeah, and all of the, they actually employed a bunch of locals, yeah. Which is pretty dope.
This,
like,
is a fucking,
great.
Both of these movies, money makers for the local economy. I'm sure they loved it. I bet they didn't have a fucking thing to worry about.
Yeah, I bet there was, like, a strong decline, though, in tourism from that, like, 18 to 21 age, where people are taking a year off college to go backpack Europe. They're like, I don't want to go get bought. I'm American. I'm worth so much money there.
Yeah, it ruined tourism so much that Eli Roth eventually had to make a movie that was just set in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's like Green Inferno. The only reason it got made, he's like, I'm not allowed to film anywhere. What the fuck?
You can only film in the jungle now.
Yeah, exactly. This is your area. You stick to it.
Speaking of Eli Roth, maybe this is just like a cheese ball thing that I like to do, but every time I watch one of his movies, I like to envision who he has, you know, like, proxied.
The surrogate?
Yeah, like, which character is him? And I definitely think that he is the guy that tries to warn Beth when he asks her for a dance.
I love that the next time she sees him, though, he's very clearly beaten up, and he's leaving town. Yeah. Like, he's got a pickup truck with all of his belongings on it.
That's Eli Roth.
That guy got out easy. How do you get fired from the elite hunting club without being murdered?
I don't think he worked. He was just a villager who knew what was up.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was definitely just a townsperson that wasn't turning a blind eye. Because everybody at that festival, one, has to know what's up. Because there's all these rich American men with binoculars staring at the teenagers dancing. But I'm just going to go out there and say that Harvest Festival happens every night.
Well, I'm sure it happens every night that time of year, though. It's tourist season, baby. What are you talking about? We gotta make a fake festival. I think every small business owner in that village is definitely turning a blind eye to it. Whether or not they're actively involved in it, it's very much a don't ask, don't tell kind of situation.
For sure. Yeah.
And isn't that true about all of the fucking places that rich people decide to vacation?
The government.
Am I right? Am I right? No, I mean, like, both of these movies. And, like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, people talk about how these movies are super misogynistic, and I just don't agree with that at all.
The characters in the first one, I will say, are definitely misogynistic. But that's where it stops for me.
Okay, it's not like there aren't characters in this movie that are misogynistic, but they aren't heroes. Like, Todd and Stuart are the most misogynistic dudes. Stuart more so, which is hugely surprising, because Todd's not a nice guy. Stuart's the fucking worst. He's not, it's not like at the end of the day we're like, oh man, it was real, I was real sorry that Stuart got his dick cut off and he died bleeding, you know, after trying to rape a girl because he couldn't kill his own wife back home.
That really hurt me because I was like, Stuart, I'm like Tyra Banks in America's Next Top Model. We're like, Stuart, we were rooting for you. We wanted you to win, Stuart.
You didn't think that was a lie from the beginning? I saw right through that shit the first time we watched this movie. I'm like, nah, this guy's playing a game with himself.
The horror watcher in me was like, we gotta keep our eyes on Stuart, but like the horror lover in me was like, Stuart's gonna save those ladies,
but
then he's gonna adopt them.
And he's gonna adopt them. Oh man. Oh, I think out of all of these movies, Beth is the only girl who wins.
I think Beth is fucking ruined.
No, I think Beth becomes what Todd wants to be. I think Beth is now the fucking mogul who goes into a room and people are like, we don't fuck with Beth. I don't know why. There's just something about her.
Because she's cold and ruined inside. Her friends got murdered and she saw one, the image of her friend with like her hair ripped out and her eye cut up.
She got sweet, justified revenge. Yeah, sure. She's traumatized by that.
But what about after the revenge, John? It's cold and empty there. Revenge.
We're
going to
worry about that later. We're going to let future Beth handle that. Like, we are just
that's
interested.
That's post-credit rolls, Beth. We don't care about that.
We're interested in the Beth that's hiding in the woods to cut off the big bad girl's head with an axe.
Yeah, but even there, when she pulls the hood down, she's wearing lipstick, but, like, her face is sallow and her eyes are cold, and I don't think it's a happy ending for her. That's why the music and the kids playing with the head is funny, because it's like this weird irony.
Oh, okay, sure. Let's...
Nobody wins in Hostel.
Nobody wins in any horror movie, if you want to start looking at it like that. No final girl goes on to have a great picnic the following weekend. It just doesn't happen. Brunch is ruined, vacations are gone.
No,
you
brunch.
Are now Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween 2018.
And every
that's your
20
best case
years,
scenario.
You gotta put the fucking shirt back on, and you gotta go back out there and kill him again.
Yeah, but that's also just like an interesting thing about the Hostel movies, because like I don't believe that company is gone. Like Beth.
Oh,
has,
absolutely not.
Yeah, Beth has cut the head off the person up top, but you
know... It's a tetrahedron? No, that's a shape. What's the name of that creature, that Greek creature?
The Hydra.
You did it, kid! You did it, you won!
On a smaller scale, though, like, yeah, okay, grand scale, capitalism bad, but also just, you know, being in a strange place, you have to keep your wits about you at all times, even when you're naked in a salt water bath that smells like farts.
Oh my god! Man, so we visited a hot spring
recently.
Let's talk
about hot springs.
I don't know why this wasn't the first thing I wrote down. Like, we gotta talk about hot springs. We drove through Utah. Is that where it was?
Colorado.
There's a hot spring in Colorado. And we were like, man, that looks so pretty. Let's go check
it out. Let's go walk the dogs there, have our lunch, whatever. And I honestly thought something broke in our RV because I was like, it smells really bad, John. I think our plumbing has gone. Let's open all these windows and go walk the dogs. And then we realized the town. It was the town that smelled.
The whole town smelled like farts.
And there were people everywhere drinking mochas and wearing bathing suits and dancing around
in
the steam.
It was a rich-ass vacation spot for sure. I bought two coffees there and it cost like $13.
What?
Yeah. So
our
that's
dogs
why...
had little coats though, so we fit in. But I was like,
I think the green hair and the horror t-shirts and yeah, the vomiting in the mouth probably gave us away. I'm never, at this point, never going to Iceland. I've always wanted to. I'm like, oh, Iceland looks great. They have hot springs everywhere. Oh,
do
it
all
like...
hot springs smell like farts?
They have to because they're like warmed up by sulfur and shit, aren't they?
Sulfur smell bad.
Yeah, not so like that. There's like this whole sequence right before Beth's kidnapped, where they're in this like really relaxing, idyllic hot spring area. Oh man, what a great, incredible spa! Oh, what a nice spot we found, and as relaxing and gorgeous as it looks, you
that
know it
segment
smells
of the film
so
has
fucking
been ruined for
yeah!
me.
Yeah, yeah, it just smells like it smells no worse than the hostel where she gets killed. I bet.
Farts.
Yeah. I wouldn't get off the train. Like, that's where I, like, surprisingly don't die in a hostel movie, where I, like, oh, you gotta come to this cool little spot no one knows about. Oh, there's no tourists there. You're gonna have a great sexy time. And I get off the train, smells like farts. I walk right back on.
You didn't tell me it smelled like farts here.
Yeah, I'm out.
Surely there's a hot spring that doesn't smell like farts, like a lava spring.
I bet. Okay, yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know, man. Like, probably not. I'm banking on they all smell like farts. Well, and the worst part, there's that scene where, like,
so that's
fucking...
good, though. We're never going to get murdered in a hostile 2.0 situation because we're never going to go hot springing.
Yeah, there we go. We've crossed one off the list. 17,000.
I do still
want to
take the train, though, and feel like I'm going to Hogwarts. Do you like the European train thing?
I hear it's expensive. I hear it's, whatever. Yeah, sure. Sounds like fun.
I wonder what house I'm going to get sorted in. Like, Kim, you're 45. Because that's how old we'll be when we can afford to do that.
For sure. So, Kim, real quick, you, I think you've probably summed this up enough, but, you know, yes or no, is Hostel 2 a superior sequel, and what is your rating of the movie?
Hostel 2 is a near-perfect film. Perfect film. Fuck it. It's a perfect film.
I believe
4 out of 4. It is better than the first one, even though the first film is pretty decent, depending on when you watch it.
I'm pretty sure I saw your Letterboxd rating before we started recording, and it says, Hostel 1 walked so Hostel 2 could run. 5 stars. I feel the exact same way. I think when you talk about, when somebody asks you, what's a sequel that's better than the original, the first movie I think of is The Evil Dead 2. The second movie I think of is Hostel Part 2.
You put those guns away, John. That's for another episode.
And yeah, absolutely, 4 out of 4. Builds off everything the first movie had. Even, like, I love the first movie. This second movie is an all-timer.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Makes me sad to see the ratings, but I think the horror community has...
I think that our plea earlier in this episode will do something about that. But seriously, though, if you want to write a Hostel 2 review, hit us up.
Yeah, please. But that's just our opinion. Let us know what you thought of Hostel Part 2. We'd love to chat with you more about this movie. We'd love it even more if you could send us a screen cap of you upvoting this movie on Rotten Tomatoes. You can do that on Twitter at NOFSPodcast or in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at NOFSPodcast.com/Discord.
We are also uploading a bonus episode for our Fiend Club, a Fiend Club exclusive episode where we talk about the first two films. We rewatched both Hostel the OG and Human Centipede in order to compare them for this double feature. So you can check that out over at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. It's a few bucks a month. You get bonus episodes like that and access to our live events and watch parties and all sorts of fun stuff. That is at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
Yeah, that episode's actually already there. We put it up last weekend. We had to make sure that these sequels were superior, and the only way to do it was by watching the original. So if you want to hear our thoughts on Hostel 1 and the movie we're talking about next week, which I think you already spoiled.
I may have.
We talk about the originals over in the Fiend Club, so you can enjoy that episode right now. But until next time, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy,
Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.